Hello, you are now listening to the number one podcast in Zaire. It's the Frocast presented by nappyafro.com.
What are you talking about? OnlyFans. Who has OnlyFans? Not me. I always had air conditioners upstairs, downstairs. And I don't use the fans. Today you don't use it. It's gorgeous.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy Pappy calling from B-More. Can't represent anything. Holla at my folks over there at Nappy Afro. Got a fan up here in B-More. I want to give y'all that shout out. All right.
Still waiting for a big smile out of you. You're up 2-0. What's the story? Are you not happy, or you're only half happy, or
still to be happy about?
You're up 2-0.
Job's not finished. Job finished? No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Hey, what up? It's Killer Mike checking in to nappyafro.com. Make sure you keep it 100. One sound rap game, bang, bang, bang. Run the jewels on food, and I'm gone. Yeah.
NappyAfro.com.
You are now tuned into the dopest podcast on the Nappy Afro Network. This is the Frocast. I'm your host, King Germ, a.k.a. the People Champion, a.k.a. the most electrifying motherfucker in podcasting today, a.k.a. the next door neighbor of Danny Tanner, a.k.a. LeBron Flames, a.k.a. the King of the Lames, a.k.a. the illegitimate son of Carl Weathers, a.k.a. Germ Cena, a.k.a. Pod Strickland, a.k.a. Fat Sajak, a.k.a. the Brooks Bandit, a.k.a. Bill Goldberg in the bedroom, a.k.a. the Black Al Bundy, a.k.a. the best there is, the best there was, the best there ever will be, a.k.a. ASAP Stocky, a.k.a. the Pod Father, a.k.a. Rowdy Potty Piper, a.k.a. you can't fit this hustle inside of a rapper, a.k.a. Ravishing Rick Rude. Now cut the music. What I like to have right now is for all you independent, self-sufficient, don't need nobody, people. Keep the noise down while I take my robe off to show y'all what a real podcast sound like. Now hit the music. Now joined by my lovely co-host, the elegant, the daunting, the always be shopping, the problematic, yet well-spoken, Queen Germ. Queen Germ, say what's up to the people.
What's up, people? It's your girl, Queen Germ, a.k.a. Miss Savannah, a.k.a. I'm educated yet ignorant, a.k.a. the Queen of QVC, a.k.a. Bipolar Mom, a.k.a. I Hear No One, a.k.a. My Cups Runneth Over, a.k.a. A Lot of Crass with a Dab of Class, a.k.a. My Afro Is My Halo, and my favorite a.k.a. of them all, just in time for back to school, your grade is your motherfucking greed, and I'm in the building.
Queen Germ's in the building, everybody. Like always, don't forget to rate, like, subscribe to the Frocast on any podcast reader out there. Don't forget about a voicemail where you can call in at 347-201-2572. Leave a voicemail, we'll play it on the show. We also got a Patreon that you can join, and for as little as a dollar, support all things Nappy Afro, get exclusive behind-the-scenes content, and get shouted out on the show like our latest Patreons. We got Kevin, and we got Peppy J from B More. So shout out to Kevin and Peppy J from B More. Thank y'all for becoming supporters of the Patreon. Hope you enjoy it. Both of y'all got swag bags coming. So if you listen to the show, please answer the emails that Be Easy sends you through Patreon, because he's asking you, do you want the swag bag? So, you know, that's all you got to do. And you could be just like these two fine, upstanding gentlemen and get shouted out on the show by becoming a Patreon. And if you don't want to, if any of those other ways I gave you, if you don't want to, you know, rate the show, if you don't want to call the voicemail, if you don't want to get on the Patreon, the best thing you could do is just share it, reblog it, repost it, throw it in your story, tag us in the story so we can throw you your props like Ruler Myself does every week. Shout out to Ruler Myself. Shout out to Short T. He always does it. And, you know, you could be just like them. We'll shout you out, man. Thank you, man. Spread the word. Let people know about the show, man. Well, enough of the pandering. Queen Germ, how was your week?
It was all right. Mm-hmm. I mean, my supervisor's still alive. So.
Queen Germ, stop saying that.
I mean, like, for real, he can be sick. He could get sick.
That's that darkness that you was talking about.
No.
Yes.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Good. said sick. I ain't say the man got to die.
I mean, hey, but, these times people getting sick and going out.
I mean, that would be too much, like, right.
If y'all hear my lighter going, this is episode 420. And if you know King Germ, that number, those sequence so of numbers means something to me.
It is his life.
So it's the 420 episode. So you know I'm smoking our episode. The strand of the week. Shout out to my man up in Boston. Gerard in Boston.
Okay.
Strand of the week. Super glue. Okay. Go get you some. Smells delicious. Smokes delicious. And you know, just so you know. Super glue. Go check it out.
Super glue.
Yeah. It's a mixture of Gorilla Glue and something. You know what I mean? So yeah. But that's what it's called. Super glue. But yeah, Queen Germ, you got to get that darkness out your spirit.
I don't know.
You got all black on today. Like, that's just like you went to a funeral or something. You know.
I'm just saying, the man is annoying.
I mean, most bosses are. So I can assume that on National Bosses Day, he won't be getting anything from you?
None of them have ever gotten anything from me. So he definitely won't be getting anything unless that means I get to put something in his car that's going to attack him.
Oh my gosh.
So otherwise, no. It's not going to happen.
Okay. Well, I hope your week get better, okay?
I hope it does, because clearly.
We'll start off by giving a great podcast, and that might kick your week off. You're like, you know what? I got it off my shoulders. I potted my ass off.
I feel good. I hope so, because like, when I tell you, I really want to run him over with my car.
Mm.
Like,
Queen Germ, you know you can't be making open threats like that.
I said want to, not say I'm going to.
I'm just saying, that's a threat in these times.
That's not a threat.
I'm just saying.
That's not a threat. That's a desire.
Listen.
I live in the
kill reality. Him in your mind. Don't do it.
I live in the reality. I know I can't do it because I will go to jail.
Yes.
I know I will lose my job. There are going to be ramifications that I'm not willing to deal with from my actions. So no, I'm not attempting or plotting to do such things. Mm. But if somebody else wants to hit him, please do.
Oh my gosh. Well, as far as my week, just a normal. I did get to see some college football this weekend, so that kind of got my spirits up because my Gators are supposed to have a good team this year, so I'm looking forward to that. So hopefully, if we can get a season in, and I mean, hey, if the season stops and we 4-0, I'm claiming the national championship. I'm just going to go ahead and put it out there.
Oh,
I'm just letting y'all know. I'm not playing. And so if we undefeated and the season get called, I'm hanging a banner up. You just gonna know 2020 national champions Florida Gators. Let y'all know that now. But it was refreshing to see the college football. It wasn't that many people in the stands, so that let me know that the NCAA really doesn't give a fuck about these kids, and they only give a fuck about the bottom line.
Yeah.
Because I don't understand why you're playing these games and putting these kids at risk. I'm pretty sure it has something to do with that TV money that you done already spent. And you don't want to give back because, you know, that, like you said, those dollars have been accounted for.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't have to pay that back. Mm-mm. But
you got to give the people what they want.
Yes.
That's what the people paid for. Hey, you got to put on the show.
And the selfish side of me wants to see football. You know what I'm saying? The selfish side of me. Like, you know, but if they do call it, I understand.
They going to call it because somebody going to be sick in a minute.
Yeah.
I give y'all 2 weeks.
2 weeks. That's okay. It feels, you know, with a big game start next weekend, like the big boys. Like right now you got the FCS schools playing, the little small directional universities and colleges playing. So, you know, we'll see next Saturday when the big boys kick off. It's kind of funny. Like I said, it's the first September in a long time that I ain't worrying about the weather. Every day around this time, I'm looking at the weather. You can't keep me off that fucking weather app. You know what I'm saying? Making sure we're going to be able to get some practice in, seeing what time
so
the rain is going to be.
Decide?
I ain't heard nothing. So I'm left to assume that you...
They opened up and the parents didn't sign up.
Well, you ain't called none of your coaches to see if they was going to coach. So you ain't did that. So that's my whole thing. I haven't heard anything. So I'm left to assume that when I talked to you, you said it wasn't nothing. I haven't got any correspondence from you since.
I thought you said y'all got an email.
Exactly. I haven't got any correspondence from you since, so therefore, it ain't nothing. So
you got an email or you didn't?
I didn't get an email. It was an email out there. I don't think that shit was real because why didn't the coaches get one? Where did this shit come from? Somebody sent me the email, like a screenshot of it. So that's, you know, I don't trust nothing unless you send me the link, dog. Don't send me no screenshot or nothing unless they got their page private and you got access to it and I don't. I trust that. But other than that, don't be sending me no fucking screenshot. I ain't buying that shit, especially like people be sending screenshots of Cash Apps like they really got the money. Oh, man, nigga, it's great graphic designers out here. you can goddamn create a fake ass Cash App. Cause one time they put one up, I tried to Cash App the person whose name was it, not no account found. See, that's why y'all need to start covering up these fucking names. Cause it's people like me that'll go the extra mile to see your con. You know what I'm saying? I'm gonna talk about some con artists later on my Keep It 100. But,
oh, that's what you got going.
Yeah. But you know, enough of our week. We got a show to talk about, man. And we're gonna go ahead and get it started. We had some bad passings over the past week. But the one that stood out to me the most was Chadwick Boseman. He passed away at the age of 43 from colon cancer. Said he realized in 2016 that he had stage 3 colon cancer. And from 2016 to his death, the man stayed working. Nobody said anything about it. Nobody leaked his info. Like, the man worked through it, didn't complain, didn't tell us. We didn't know. Again, me being selfish, I kind of wish you would have told us this so we could have gave you your flowers while you were still alive. And, you know, the outpouring of love that you get now, you deserved that while you was living. You know what I'm saying? And I just, like I said, but I respect your wishes for not letting everybody know.
I mean, my thing is you don't want no fake love.
Yeah.
Like, you tell somebody that you dying, you know what I'm saying? If people say, I got 6 months to live, everybody going to try to act like they love you then. I mean, because that's just going to make people feel good.
Yeah.
Because they want to be able to send you off well.
Yes.
But the people who loved you for real, they knew that.
Yeah. But a lot of us that didn't know him personally.
You wasn't going to drive up to his house.
I mean, no. I mean, he lived in South Carolina. You know how I got issues with South Carolina.
The South Carolina's all right with me. So.
I know. I mean, look, 12 Kyle from South Carolina, so they all right with me, too.
Your people from South Carolina, man, look, they don't want to admit it, but that's where the fuck they from.
What you mean? They said that in the family tree. Anyway, this is not about me. This is about Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And you know what I'm saying? The man played Thurgood Marshall, James Brown, Jackie Robinson. You know, I just, you know, just for the little kids that, you know, love Black Panther and just to see a black superhero, that was amazing. And, you know, I just couldn't imagine how the little kids felt, you know what I'm saying, when they, you know, found out about it. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of people still saying they ain't telling kids yet.
Like, your kid must not be online.
I'm just saying, if your kid young enough not to know, then let them not know. I mean, that's like, you know, that's a superhero to them. Like, you're not supposed to be dead. Like,
yeah, exactly. You can't die. So, like, I knew you, you know, but he's gone for real. And
that's a lot.
And I just, you know, wanted to start off the show by showing respect. I mean, he was a great actor. I mean, he brought life to the James Brown. And they said he couldn't pull off the dance moves, but he did it, even though he was 6 feet tall. Like, he was, you know, usually tall people can't really dance. Yeah, can't especially dance. James Brown moves. But he pulled it off. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that was still one of the funniest movies because the James Brown voice get me every time when he be talking like, you can't understand nothing James Brown say. And that shit is hilarious. So, you know, any Chadwick Boseman thing you want to talk about it?
No.
I mean, I got nothing but respect for the man.
I mean, I got nothing but love and respect for him, praying that, you know, family is lifted up, because this is, it's definitely a difficult thing to deal with when you're losing somebody, even if you, you know what I'm saying, you feel like, you know, the people around you know, they kind of, you know, preparing themselves,
yes,
but
yes.
When it happens, it never is, you know what I'm saying, as you probably think it was going to go, so.
Yeah.
It's a tough pill to swallow, so.
And I'm just going so young, like 43, like, that's.
You don't expect for your life to be over.
Yeah, black man, go to the doctor, bro. Like, we got to start going to the doctor. I mean, I had insurance for years before I really started going to the doctor. You know, now I go on a regular basis. You know, it's just something that became part of my life. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know my week, my checkups time, and, you know, I want to know, you know what I'm saying? But I don't want to know. Like, something going on with me, I don't want to know. I'm just going to keep continuing my life. I'll probably go out that same way, and then just one day I'll just be like, yo, I just ain't moving in the bed, or whatever, whatever. I'll be sitting out here in the garage and just be sitting still or sitting in the chair, and it's just, I want to be an old man now. I don't want to go, you know, I don't want the Reaper come to see me that soon. You know, at least, give me at least. At least give me 30. 43
is around the corner.
Exactly. I'm only 28 right now.
Yeah.
43 is around the corner. Before I know it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm trying to figure out who you got these kids from.
What kids? My two in there?
Mm-hmm.
I got them by you. At least I thought I did.
But the numbers don't add up, son.
We don't do math on the Frocast, ma'am.
Not this week.
Don't try to do math. Yeah, exactly. We got comments last week. Oh, I can't believe y'all did a whole math equation on the front. Listen, somebody learn from that, okay? Just because you didn't take the time to listen, I learned from that. I'm sure someone else did. I know what binary means now.
Okay.
Yeah. on the other side of binary. Not, you know, even though I knew. Yeah. So, you know. But anyway.
R.I.P. Chad.
Yeah, R.I.P. Chad Bozeman, man. What's his name? Michael B. Jordan had a very touching tribute to him on his Instagram. You know, it was very dope. I mean, if you know who Michael B. Jordan is, go look up his Instagram, read the tribute. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, he just, man, it was rough. Like, that was a tough one because it was just like, damn, we ain't know. And then, you know, another one we had passing, John Thompson, legendary college basketball coach. Father figure to a lot of men that led astray. Like Allen Iverson said, he said, I owe you my life. You saved my life. You know what I'm saying? He ain't lying. Like, I mean, John Thompson, great guy, stand-up guy. He ain't take that shit. You know, he was just, you know, I can understand why, you know, a lot of people are drawn to him. His players, you know, have that, you know, because he came across that way. You know what I'm saying? Having met him a couple times, he was, dope individual. No, nothing. He as advertised. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, nothing but respect, you know, like I said, to John Thompson and his family. You know, yeah, y'all father was a great dude. He impacted a lot of people. Y'all should know that and, you know, feel good in that and knowing that, you know. So he was 78. Who else passed away? It was like Cliff Robinson, another basketball player. You know, not as super known. I mean, unless you was a basketball head, you know who Cliff Robinson was. Uncle Cliff is what they used to call him. He used to look like Snoop Dogg, kind of, back in the days. So, you know, he passed away. It was just a bad week for us, man. A bad week, man. Good gracious. Lute Olson, another legendary basketball coach, passed away. Arizona coach, old Lute. You know what I'm saying? Him and his wife together now, man. So, you know, man, rough. A lot of passing. He just passed away, yeah.
Did you say him and his wife together?
Oh, they're together now. Yeah, his wife passed before him. Mm-hmm. And he was just out here.
Because I was trying to catch up, okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we just want to go ahead and start the show off by giving our proper respects to those that passed. And, we got to address somebody because they said, what about the man down the street that passed away? Y'all like y'all don't care about him. Well, listen, Sleazy the Black Farmer, this is a moment for everybody that passed away. Those known and not known. Whoever, just...
Oh, okay,
just,
anybody.
You know what I'm saying? Just, you know, like, we got to show them love, too. So, RIP to them, too, man.
Yeah, RIP.
We don't want nobody to feel left out. If someone passed away in your circle, we are sending them our condolences.
Yes.
Just like we sent them to the Black Panther. Just like we sent them to Big John and all that, okay? Since everybody got problems.
No one left out.
No one left out. No child left behind. And when I say child, because you a child of God. Hashanah, 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 Hashanah.
Okay, now you want to play with the Lord.
Yes, sir. Another thing that happened over the week, we had an NBA strike. I'm not calling it a boycott, because a boycott means you're buying a product. You're boycotting a product. They're not boycotting a product. They are the workers. They are the product, so this is a strike. That makes sense?
It makes plenty sense.
Okay. So the NBA strike happened after the shooting of Mr. Jacob Blake. The Milwaukee Bucks decided that they weren't going to play a game in protest because of the way things were handled. So they didn't play that game, and it started a domino effect. All the games were canceled. Even some baseball games were canceled. The WNBA games were canceled. So we didn't have basketball for Thursday or Friday. They came back on Saturday. It might have been a Wednesday game. But anyway, we was without basketball. In the middle of the playoffs, the players set out. The world stopped and paid attention to what was going on. And I want to know, how do you feel about that?
I was impressed. Okay. Because, honestly, I didn't think, you know what I'm saying, they would do anything like this on a grand scale. I really feel like you have to do, you know what I'm saying, use the platform that you have to make some kind of impact. Call the people who are in charge, get their attention. Because all of these people who got all the money, they like, you know, like sports, they know, you know what I'm saying, club owners and all that kind of stuff. And if it's an issue for them, it becomes an issue for those people who can change it. Because they don't like you messing up their money. Mm-hmm. That's really the only language they speak. If you talking about some money, you stopping somebody's cash flow, you got their attention at that point.
Because think about it. You got corporate sponsors, all kinds of stuff. But the NBA players don't understand. They are the product. They, without them, especially Black players, with you being more than 70% of the league.
Yeah, you can shut it down.
Y'all have to respect us. Y'all got to understand. Like, y'all people that love the NBA, all y'all fans that come to the game, y'all love to see a black man, I'm going to say it, a nigga, since they say we say nigga too much on the show. Y'all love to see a nigga scoring a hoop, scoring a touchdown, you know what I'm saying, tackling a motherfucker. But when it comes to that same nigga in the street, you don't give a fuck. Why?
Because my thing is, for so long.
You went to UGA. You went to UGA. And you know the culture around there about football.
Yeah.
Like, if you're just a regular black.
It ain't that many of them there. Yeah. Not men.
But when you on that football team, you different. And they treat you differently.
Yeah, they treat you like you're somebody for real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They talk to you differently. They want you to, you know, you can, I know you. But a regular nigga on the street, they ain't. A regular UGA student, fuck you. You ain't shit.
I mean, and shoot, because my thing is, like I was saying, for too long in this country, black people have had to cry in silence, suffer in silence, or what have you, because nobody want to care about what you go home to. Mm-hmm. They don't want to care about what happens to you on your way to work, on your way home. But when you're at work, if your job is to entertain, you got to forget that, you know what I'm saying, the police may pull you over and kill you. But you, right now, if you on the stage where you supposed to be performing, playing ball, whatever you supposed to be doing, entertain us, make us feel good. We don't give a damn what it is that you got to go through for you to have the talents that you have, for you to be able to sing the songs that you sing, regardless of what you're going through. It's all about the entertainment factor.
Yeah.
And that's all they care about.
And let's not forget about their entertainment. They love watching black people get killed for entertainment. They've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
It's nothing like when we sit there, like, how can you sit there and watch a black man get murdered on TV? Doesn't that do anything to you? No, because white people been watching us get killed. It was on Time Magazine, people getting hung and shit. Yeah. And they used to be their entertainment.
They had picnics and whatever, sitting out there watching. Get hung.
Yeah, they
the kids.
That's nothing new to them. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I just hope it resonates with the new whites because, you know, the old whites ain't going to change.
No.
They're not going to change. It's ingrained in them. But we just got to get these new ones on board to see. And that's why I'm glad that the new ones are. The younger white ones, most of them for the most part, they ain't with that racism shit. And you still got your little sect of them that, you know, don't understand what white privilege is. And they're not really racist. They just have racist views. Like, they see the world differently because they just don't.
I mean, and I feel like their parents teach them that. I mean, that stuff is being taught.
I don't think it's, you know, not as taught. It's more like, yo, use it to your advantage. I think it's more like that. So, yeah, you can say it's taught, but I don't think they really like, yo, I got black friends, but I still do shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know.
Because you ain't really got black friends, because your black friends need to check you on that bullshit you do.
Well, you know, so, hey, and that's a whole nother ball game. The new blacks are real lax.
Yeah. They ain't got no standards.
Yeah,
people treat them all kind of way old because the person that I'm hanging with, you know what I'm saying? Because for the most part, if you hanging with white people that deep like that and you letting them disrespect you, it's got to be some benefit in that. Mm. So if you feel like, the white dude buy all the weed, buy all the liquor, whatever the case may be, he happened to call me a nigga every now and then, I'm going to let it slide because, you know what I'm saying, it's a perk to the relationship. If we really friends, you should know certain stuff is off limits.
Mm.
Like, if you really are a genuine friend, you wouldn't even want to get one in on that. That's not even a word you should want to say.
Mm.
I don't care how many times I say nigga. You not privy to that word. That word is not in your vocabulary in front of me.
Mm.
So I don't care, old, young, new, whatever it is, you got to get it together. That shit right there is not acceptable.
So how you feel about the players making the decision to play? That after they stop, you feel like they made enough, like, note? Like, I don't, okay. Explain to me what would help by them stopping playing.
I mean, for that moment, they were able to use their platform to say that this was not, you know, they were not in agreement with what was going on in the world. I mean, that, to me, you took a stance. Because it's people every day that don't like what's going on at their job.
Yep.
And it can be horrible things going on at your job.
Yep.
But you still take your ass to work. Why? Because you can't leave them people.
Mm-hmm.
So for somebody, even, and people say, well, they rich enough to lose a day of pay, blah, 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 blah. But it ain't even about that. It's about the fact that the world is watching. And in the eye of everybody that's around, everybody who could turn on a TV, you saw that the NBA and at least those players were not okay with what was happening. You had people talking like Doc Rivers. He was very emotional about that situation. Damn. And it even touched my mama to the point where she was talking about it. And she don't even have watched no sports. Mm. And she was just like, it was, you know what I'm saying? It was just compelling the things that he was saying, especially when you say for black people to still love this country and this country won't love us back. That in itself really, it sums it all up. Yep. Because I don't care what nobody say, black people have tried. We have tried to do everything since we've been here. We've tried to, assimilate. We have tried to be educated. We have tried to do everything we thought that was right. Some people have given up the fight and they're okay with being on the bottom. They say, okay, fine. I won't give you no problems. I won't be your competition. I live on the system. Just leave me alone. And you still hunt them down. You still kill them. You still cause problems simply because you hate us. Because the intent was not for us to have lived this long in this country. It was not. So I don't care if you want to say, some people want to say the black people was here already and they just brought some more of us. Regardless, brown people, black people, they did not think that you would be able to survive the shit that they had up their sleeve, because their intent was for you to be workers and for you to die. That was it. It was not for you to flourish. It was not for you to have to be the competition. That's not what they ever wanted. So that's why they hate you so bad. And then the fact on top of that is that they're so scared. This whole fear that everybody getting killed over, because every time you turn around, we were scared. We fear for our life. That bullshit. That's because you scared of what you would have done if you were black. Because if you were somebody who had lived in this country and been done wrong generation after generation, at this point, we ought to be furious. We ought to be around here fucking up police officers. We should. On sight. You pull me over, I don't give a fuck. You better throw that damn ticket out the window because I'm finna kill your ass. That's the type of mentality that people should have. But no, we try to be good. Here, him a registration. Him a license, officer.
Yeah.
That's what you do. And you still don't get to go home all the time.
We got to tell our kids at 9, 10 years old, when you see a cop, now do everything they say now. Don't move. Don't.
Who got to live like that?
Stop. Don't. If you see a cop, you straighten up. You yes, sir. No, sir.
Don't reach for nothing.
Don't touch nothing. You let them have your ID. That's what we got to tell our young-ass kids so they know by the time they're 15, 16 that they got to go out here and they got to be a straight bitch when they see police. You think a white kid got
to
go through that?
They don't, because they act a darn donkey and the police don't do anything to them.
But a black kid got to be, you got to turn into a bitch when you see the police. Because if not, you could die.
Yeah. And you can be all of those things and still die.
Or get shot in the back 7 times. And yo, fuck all you motherfuckers and say, he did have a warrant.
That don't matter.
I was just hey, when white people bring that shit up about him having a warrant and, he was arrested for something else.
Like I said.
But okay, that's not why they were there that day, okay? So he was a victim of happenstance. Yes, he had a warrant. Yes, he probably was leaving when the police came. He knew he had a warrant. He said, let me get out of here. I ain't did nothing. Let me go. I got warrants. I ain't got to talk to nobody.
Exactly.
And the police want to talk. And then I end up with shots in my back. And then after the fact, you find out I had a warrant? Nigga, stop. You weren't coming to serve that warrant?
My thing is, all I got to tell you is Dylan Roof. When a motherfucker can kill 9 people and get taken to get Burger King, y'all can't tell me nothing about arresting somebody.
Mm.
So that means I am a murderer, a serial killer, and I get taken to get my choice of fast food. So you want me to believe that y'all can kick in people's doors and
cheese on
all these other things?
You want cheese on
exactly.
That?
I want cheese and bacon.
No, I ain't, please.
So we getting it cut in half. So my thing is
fries, no salt.
You can't tell me anything
Sprite, light
about
ice.
How you can make an arrest of somebody.
Is the ice cream machine on? Can I get a sundae?
Fucked up.
Oh shit. You'll stop at Wendy's?
Yeah.
We'll get
a Frosty.
Okay, cool.
But you can't tell me nothing about when you go to arrest somebody, when you go to detain somebody, when you do all of these things. It's so many things that are so frivolous that black people are dying about when they encounter the police. That's the part that should make you mad. That's the part that should put you in a state of fuck the police. Like, just being real. Because of the fact that how long do you have to watch your family die, your friends die, people in general? Because the fight is all ours.
Yes.
And I heard an old white lady today talking about, I mean, I just want people to stop all the hate. I just don't know where the hate came
from.
Tell
your people to stop the hate, y'all.
I say it's a dirty world out here. I say it, and for some people, it's just never going to change because we can't, nobody can give something up that is not even theirs to have. Like, why am I feeling like I owe white people something? I don't owe you no explanation. I don't owe you shit. Because if you gonna tell me that I got to lay down my life so that you can feel comfortable, fuck you. Because there's no reason, you have no good reason as to why black people can't be angry. Black people ought to be angry. And a black person that ain't angry is soft as cotton. It don't make no sense for you to think that you're supposed to be in a world that, and it shouldn't be angry to the point that you want to destroy things, but it should be anger enough in you that should fuel you to do something better with yourself. All this bullshit that's going on, black people, I mean, and even with the whole black on black crime dumb shit popping off, it's some shit that we just really got to work on. And it's a mindset. And a lot of people don't have the right mindset. And you just got to get better than what we doing right now.
Amen. Put your tinfoil hat on, people.
Here you go.
Put your tinfoil hat on. Let me go ahead and say something real quick. I'm not really on board. Well, I'm not saying I'm not on board, because I do believe that Black Lives Matter. But this BLM organization, the way it has morphed into now, I don't think it's what it started out. You know what I'm saying? I think it's because when I see these Black Lives Matter protest rallies, peaceful protest, it'd be a lot of white people there. And it'd be a lot of white people starting trouble at these rallies. And at the end of the day, what gets the bad name? The Black Lives Matter rally, right? So they feel like you go to these rallies, it's knuck if you buck. And but it really ain't us starting the shit. It's the white people. So that makes me wonder, like, why, I've been asking y'all for so many shows, why have white people took a sudden interest in black people's lives? Like, why? And they're going so hard for it. It just makes me wonder, man, like, I don't understand. Are they trying to steal the thunder and roll something else up under there with it, bundle it together with something else, another cause? Possible. I don't know. But I'm just saying.
I mean, white people love to steal our shit, so...
Hey, I mean, yeah, like, they
won't surprise me.
They going wild with it, bro. Like, they going harder than us, man. Like, I mean, I done seen so many cars with Black Lives Matter on it, ain't none of them been black. Every car I've seen with Black Lives Matter on it, been a white person. Maybe that's good, spread the message, but it's kind of counterproductive, because some of y'all white people they don't understand what that means. And so I salute all the allies. I'm not gonna dissuade you from doing anything. I salute you if you're an ally, but talk to your people that come to the rallies. Tell them to calm the fuck down. Quit busting windows and shit. The niggas with the skateboards, y'all niggas dangerous. Cause I done seen a lot of videos of the niggas with skateboards terrorizing niggas, like fucking people up, getting fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, hey, so ain't too many I know niggas with skateboards. So yeah. But, hey, that's just King Germ with my tinfoil hat on. Sorry. Let's go back to the scheduled program.
Please do.
Speaking of party time, Marcus Houston, you know who he is? He was an immature. Okay. He just got married. And, you know, so salute to him and his wife. Congratulations, you know, hey, on the happy nuptials. But the problem is Marcus Houston is 39 years old and his bride is 19 years old. First of all.
Did you find a problem with it?
Yes. Let me ask you, because if I was 39 years old, ain't nothing in the world a 19-year-old could talk to me about. Nothing.
And this is a 19-year-old girl?
Girl, yes.
Because I thought he was gay.
No, he's not gay. He probably, he probably fucked a couple dudes before,
That doesn't make you gay?
No. You got to subscribe to the lifestyle. That's what they say. If you don't subscribe to the lifestyle, then how can you be gay? You can have sex with dudes as long as you don't
subscribe. What is that called?
That's just experimenting. You gotta know if you like it, right? Like, if you gotta try.
You don't have to know you like
it. I'm just saying. I mean, hey, if you know you like, you think you like salted caramel ice cream, you gotta try it to see if you like it, right?
I can smell it and know that I don't like it.
Oh, but you gotta try it to see if you don't like it. But Anyway, I'm pretty sure Marcus Houston, and you know, he was an immature. You know what I'm saying? Them boys, that Chris Stokes shit. You know, he had them taking pictures in their bedroom, in their underwear. They about damn 15 years old, 16 years old. Something ain't right about that, but hey, you know.
So the producer was gay?
Their manager slash, yeah, the dude that was in charge of the group. He was making them.
And he was fondling the kids.
I mean, that's what a couple of people said, yeah.
Oh, okay.
A couple of, one of the group members said. Allegations, but Marcus Houston like, oh, he never did nothing. We're like, nigga, it's a picture of y'all three and y'all tidy whities sitting on the bed together. Like, what the fuck? Why would anybody think like, oh, we gonna take a picture like that? No. But we're straying all off. This man just got married. But we are a comedy pair. To a 19-year-old girl. First off.
Well, her parents sold her, if anything, because well, I mean, she's okay. 19. If he knew her just a year, she was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So that tells me, some parents got to be involved in this. Okay. So if their parents involved, her parents involved, they just as trifling.
Well, let's read the story.
As they want to be.
Let's read the story. Okay. It said, Marcus Houston and Maya Dickey tied the knot on Monday, August 24th. They said the bride, 19, and the groom, 39, exchanged vows at Eagle Glen Golf Club in Corona, California. Their small guest list amid the COVID-19 pandemic included Houston's immature bandmates, Jerome Jones and Kelton Kesey, and recording artist Major, who made a surprise appearance to sing Dickie's favorite song, Why I Love You. The couple's wedding followed a surprise quarantine bridal shower amid the coronavirus pandemic for Dickie on July 25th, which featured friends joining virtually and sending gifts. But let's get to the juice.
I mean, who the little girl is?
Basically, he met his now wife at a Jehovah's Witness convention in 2018 after she became friends with his manager, Chris Stokes' daughter, Chrissy.
So Chris Stokes?
Yes, the same guy.
The same man who y'all was playing with in the bed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. She became friends with his daughter. And that's how you met her. This is Chris saying, Maya's like a daughter to Chris. Well, no, Maya's like a daughter to Chris because we are all like family. Being a Jehovah's Witness, we all showcase true love like family. That's it, he continued, noting that he didn't start dating Dickie until she was an adult.
So that means you knew her when she was 17, R. Kelly.
Exactly. According to the sacrifice actor, his family and the people I am closest to all love her as well, despite the age discrepancy between the couple. Most importantly, we have Jehovah's blessing, Houston added.
I don't think y'all do.
So to all the rumors about me, none of it is true. And that's the story. No twists, no turns, no scandals, just true love. There's nothing that can come to light because there's no darkness in my life. Okay. The couple got engaged in March of 2019 after 5 months of dating. She said yes. The producer captioned a photo of the couple's fingers intertwined at one time, showing off Dickie's engagement ring. So, let me ask you a question. Would you allow your daughter to marry a 39-year-old man?
No.
Okay. You at 19, would you marry a 39-year-old man?
No.
Okay. And why not?
I mean, I had older guys that tried to holler at me or whatever, but I find it very odd. Now, if I met a man and let's say I'm 39 and he was 59 when we met.
Yeah.
I could deal with that a little bit better because we real grown.
Yeah. I'm,
but when I say you stealing somebody's childhood from them because you done been a child.
Thank you.
For you to rob this person or try to, I guess, navigate or relive your time through being with a young person, because I feel like that's got to be a big part of why you want to be there, because that's almost like you got to raise somebody.
You are
like,
raising someone.
That's how I even know something about him on a maturity and sexual level.
He wasn't immature. It's,
whatever.
Womp, womp, womp.
Was not, and I wasn't even trying to go there, but... what is not really developed, because what is attractive about somebody that much younger? Y'all don't really listen to the same music. Y'all don't watch the same
don't talk
shows.
The same.
Y'all don't. Yeah,
don't
the lingo
the
is
same.
Different. So the thing is, it's the money thing. So you were able to buy a child. That's what that was. Like, you wanted her for your pleasure. You covering it up by saying you're marrying her. You waited till she was 19. But the fact is, this bitch can't even get a drink. Mm. Like, what the fuck, you go and marry somebody who can't even go to the bar with you?
Mm.
Like, she got 2 more years before she can even legally drink. Like,
she Jehovah's, so she ain't got to worry about that.
Nigga, please. Jehovah Witnesses, I done been around enough of them. Them bitches drink. So, I know. Them and Jehovah, they drinking up and over there. So, I don't know what's going on, but I can tell you
shout out all our JW that, listeners out there.
Yeah, shout out. But that right there, it just ain't going to pan out. And because the only thing it's going to be is this girl going to be like a slave to this man.
Of course. It's that's, like, that's another reason.
He done paid for you.
And it's like, you, there's nothing, like I said, me being an older guy, I couldn't talk to a young girl because, A, they're just like, I would blow a fuse trying to talk to somebody.
But see, that's
like,
the thing, because you're normal, yeah, somewhat.
And when I work with, like, the younger girls, and I used to be like, y'all niggas is crazy. Like, I ain't no fucking way that, I just be like, the youth are fucking ridiculous. No way. No way. So when I see niggas that be going at the younger girls, it do raise the eye to me. Like, past, like, 5 years, nigga, like, something wrong with you, bro.
And then my thing is, on top of it, is the fact that, like I said,
until you grown. When you grown, like
I'm saying, it don't matter.
Yeah, once you pass 30, you can date any age.
Yeah.
Like, unless you 30.
Yeah, we meet when we 30 plus.
You 70, then it's fine. Though, no.
I mean, in that, hey, if that's what y'all want,
but
still grown.
It clearly
just looks weird,
and it clearly shows that it's something off with either person. Either both. It's something wrong with the both. Younger girl that she thinks that an older man is for her, and it's something wrong with the older person that thinks the younger person is for them. Because y'all shouldn't be on the level either way.
But the thing is, if you already know the stats would be that men die first,
mm-hmm.
if he got a 20-year head start to the grieve on me, I can give him my youth. Because I'm going to live my best life when he dead. That's what your mentality could be. Because I can give him these kids. I could do whatever this is that he want to do. I could be his little trophy wife. I ain't got to work. Then the nigga go and die on me. I inherit all his money. It's a win-win for me. Your mama done probably done schooled you to the game. So hell, you know the man like boys. So he just with you for sure. I probably only got to have sex with the nigga. So hey, if that's what you like. That's yeah. what you like.
But I just couldn't. I wouldn't. I mean, either way, I wouldn't let my son marry an older woman.
Yeah,
I mean,
because it's ugly.
it's just like, no. Because A, it's a control thing. I'm pretty sure. Like, cause like you said, it's like you're 39, she's 19.
I mean, and then another thing, what does she do for a living? Like, is she supposed to be an up and coming something?
She probably a model or, you know, something like that. Who knows? I mean, she's 19. She just graduated from high school. Damn, give her a chance to live. You asking, what is she doing?
She ran off and got married to an old man.
Jesus. Like, come on. Give her a break.
This nigga's going through a midlife crisis.
She just graduated high school last year. Like,
exactly.
2019.
Exactly.
Like, just, exactly. You married to somebody born in 2000.
Yeah.
Like, come on, bro. And she might have been born in 2001.
Yeah.
Nigga, your stardom was already over with by the time she was born. Like, Immature was done by 01. They probably, you know, I can't remember when Immature was around. But, I mean, come on, bro. Like, that, it's just all, a bad
way
look all around.
He bad off.
Bad look all around.
You don't, I mean, like, you talking about, like I said, it just blows my mind that you could say that the person you met the child through is the manager that you claim y'all didn't have a relationship with. So now this man got kids, so I guess he wasn't gay either. But
he didn't subscribe to the lifestyle.
Okay, so like I said, whatever, you choose to do. But my thing is...
Are you a teacher?
Yeah.
Do you subscribe to the lifestyle of being a teacher?
Yeah.
All right, so you're a teacher.
Well, if that's the case, I could be a surgeon if that's the case, if I'm just subscribing to lifestyles.
But you got to actually be out there trying to be a surgeon, cutting people open and everything.
Okay, well, I can do that. I can start with my supervisor.
Hey, see, there you go. Queen Germ, now you're killing him. See, there you go.
You just say a practice on somebody, and I think he would be an awesome candidate.
Okay.
But nonetheless, I mean, like I say, it just blows my mind because when people are fixated on dating people that are outside of their age group, like, tremendously... It just means that you have no game because you know what I'm saying? Like, talking to a girl your age, you know that you're going to look like a cornball. You know that stuff ain't going to impress them.
Mm.
So you could go and buy her a little ring, take her on a little trip, make her feel real good, buy mama a car or some shit like that. And then now all of a sudden you got the people eating out your hand. Then the next thing we know, you might be going upside the woman's head and all kind of carrying on. You don't, that girl don't know what her and her mama done signed up for.
But... Listen, bad look all around. I'm not with it. Just nasty to me. Overall nasty. But hey, live your life, son. It ain't my life. Couldn't be me, bro. Well, moving on to a feel-good story.
A feel-good.
It's this place in Alabama. I know you don't get too many good stories coming out of Alabama, but this is one. If it ain't football related, you know, it's usually bad news coming out of Alabama. But shout out to all the Alabama listeners. Shout out, shout out, shout out. Hey, I was looking at the map of the United States the other day, right? This ain't got nothing to do with the story. This is just me being high, coming up with random stuff. Do you know the state of Alabama and state of Mississippi look just alike? Like back to back, it's like you can flip them over there. It's like the same fucking state. Just look at the map next time you see that. And I was looking like, that shit look like the same state.
It is.
Yeah, it's weird.
Same racist motherfuckers.
Hey, man, hey, we got some good listeners in Mississippi. You will not besmirch the name.
If they black, they ain't the ones I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, they black.
Okay, then.
Oh, okay. All right.
Black people can't be racist, so.
Queen Germ is a racist motherfucker, and you black.
And I'm not.
And you racist as fuck. But anyway, the founders of Drexel and Honeybees, a black-owned family-style restaurant in Brewton, Alabama, are gaining national attention because they serve meals with no prices. No prices. I'm going to say that one more time.
That's good.
No prices? All right, let's get into
this. Because you got to have a diverse group of people. You can't have nothing but the bums coming there because you ain't going to make no money. Mm. But if you got some high class
but people, if I'm, but class I'm not going to sit there eating as a bum sitting next to me. Fuck
they,
that
they
shit.
They got to have a separate area for them.
No. What? Yeah.
They got to break them up.
But anyway, it says no prices. It says the donation-only restaurant does not use cash registers and also feeds everyone, including those who don't have anything to pay. So hold on. Okay. Every lunchtime from Tuesday to Thursday, husband and wife team Freddie and Lisa Thomas McMillan, Lisa Thomas McMillan, power struggle, are busy serving hungry people with soul food and southern dishes from their daily changing menu, such as fried chicken, cornbread, and collard greens. Everyone who comes to the restaurant doesn't have to worry about the payment because they can leave a handful of coins, a generous donation, or even just a thank you note. The owners then use 100% of the donations for the operational cost of feeding the hungry, so they don't really profit from it. Still, the McMillans continue serving people from all walks of life in exchange of the joy that they get from all of it. They say there's a real joy whenever people leave their restaurant with a full stomach, a full heart, and the understanding that you are loved and worthy of love. For more information, this is not a commercial, people, but it's going to sound like it, about Drexel and Honeybees and or to donate online, visit drexelandhoneybees.com. So, Queen Germ, got a question.
I got an answer.
What you think about this model of business they got going on right here?
I think it's awesome. Like, my thing is, when you think about the diverse group of people, if your food is really that good, even if today I had to come there, right? Mm-hmm. I ain't have no money. Mm-hmm. When I do get paid, I'm going to come back. And I will pay for the meal that I had the last time and this time. Because I know that somebody else may really be in a situation where they can't pay.
Well, what if I'm just a cheapskate?
And you just come there every day like...
I eat that Tuesday like through Thursday. And I leave a thank you note. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
And that's where you get your meal at every day.
Tuesday through Thursday.
Your portion's going to get smaller and smaller every time you put your rump up in there.
I'm going to be honest with
you. It's going to go from a meal to a snack.
If you came to me and that was your business plan, me and you can't be partners. I'm going to be like, hold on. So you mean tell me we ain't making no money from this? So what are we doing it for? Like, they must just be like, they ain't got nothing else to do.
Yeah, they love cooking and they love being together and they got a place that they must not have to pay no rent on.
But see, now, since they're getting national attention, all that's going to change. It's going to be some prices on that motherfucker.
It is. Or y'all going to have, they going to have some celebrity endorsement.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Checks all the time. So, hey.
Somebody going to get in their head.
VIP up in that piece.
Yes, sir. It's going to be like, listen, a different menu. The free menu over here. What you got? Oh, we just got spaghetti. Spaghetti and goulash. That's all we got. What's goulash? Hey, whatever meat left over mixed with some noodles and onions and peppers. That's all y'all get for the free meals. Oh, what's that over there? That look delicious. Oh, that's the paid meals. Oh. We got a cash register in here now. You see that cash register up there? Listen, because I'm telling you, that's all you got to do. Have free food and have paid food. The free food, people, you got to eat what the free food is. You don't ask no motherfucking questions. You're getting the free motherfucking food. But if you got some money, you can eat from the paid side. So I think that's what y'all need to do. Listen, Honeybees, Drexel and Honeybees, holla at King Jern, Queen Jern. We'll show y'all how to get paid. Because right now, yeah, because apparently there's a need for us, you know, one of our listeners, you know, very chatty Patty, sleazy the black farmer. He seems to think that we need to monetize the Frocast and take it to the next level and, you know, do what Joe Budden and them do. You know what I'm saying? But
what's that?
I don't know. Whatever Joe Budden and them do, I don't know. I don't really, you know, if you ain't got 420 episodes, man, don't talk to me, bro.
Not in my league.
You're not, yeah, we're not the same. You know what I'm saying? We're talking about different things, bro. So listen.
Totally different.
Yeah, we're totally different, man. You know what I'm saying? You know, if you ain't been podding for at least 11 years, don't talk to me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't.
If you ain't been out there putting flyers on people.
Yeah, calls, man, don't. If you ain't been spreading word of mouth about your website like it's an actual thing, walking out there getting in arguments with security guards and, you know.
Don't put that shit on people call.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Don't talk to me, man. So, you know. Mm. But what was we talking about? I went on a tangent there.
Giving away
there.
Food for free.
Yeah, like, so yeah.
Giving away this show for free.
Yeah, we giving away this show. Well, you know.
I'm just saying, that's what he's saying.
Yeah, we're Drexel and Honeybee. Yeah. We the Drexel and Honeybees of podcasting. We give away a show for free.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, we do it because we love it. We don't do it because we're trying to get paid.
And Honeybee talking about.
That's how you know you're getting a real good pod from us, because we ain't chasing a dollar. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, both of us got real fucking jobs. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? So, but we come in here and give y'all this because we like doing it. You know what I'm saying? Not because we want to chase the bag. We ain't in it for that. So if you think this a podcast that's just chasing a bag, I think I need to throw that in my Rick Rude thing next week. Matter of fact, let me write that down.
Oh, my goodness.
But yeah, man. So yeah. So shout out to Drexel and Honeybees, man. I guess y'all doing all this off faith, knowing it's going to work its way out.
That's the thing about it. When you put it in the atmosphere, when you put it in the universe, it comes back.
And it's going to work out that they're going to have a cash register in that motherfucker, too.
Because
you're going to have to get one of them. Because business, don't keep feeding all these free meals. And one day you got to do a big-ass GoFundMe to save the business because you didn't. Well, we've been giving out free meals for years. We just hope. And, you know, hoping them thank you notes add up and somebody going to come save you. Listen, get this money now. People will pay for
this
you.
This is what they wanted.
Yeah.
This is what they wanted. They wanted to give enough free meals to where they got national attention.
Yeah, because we got millions.
And millions.
Of listeners. So they just, hey, Drexel and Honeybees, man. If you in, what was it, Brewton, Alabama?
Yep.
Yeah, Brewton, Alabama. I don't know where that is. But
I don't want to go.
Hey, yeah, it just, ain't too many places in Alabama I want to go that ain't football related. I'm going to be honest with you, man. I ain't never woke up and be like, yo, you want to go to Alabama? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, you know, I mean, it's a reason I got to be in Alabama. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it better be real good.
I mean, real motherfucking good, because
it ain't Dextra, Drexel and Honeybee good.
Yes, sir. Well, it's TV talk time. We only got one show to talk about this week, and that's P-Valley.
Yes, down by the river.
Where the girls get naked.
Hey! If you got a dollar,
yeah,
you know they gonna shake it.
Yes, sir. I found that song on YouTube.
I bet you did.
And one of Lil Murda raps, one of his songs on there. Mm. Hey, shout out to Lil Murda before we go in. Lil Murda from the borough, from the hometown, gang gang. Another G-Bro legend. You know what I'm saying? But yeah. So this week on P-Valley, we had the next to last episode, and basically in this episode, it started off with Mercedes' mother and Uncle Clifford protesting at the site of the mayor's park.
Casino, yeah.
That was the park.
It's a park thing, but they were protesting against the casino coming to town.
So, you know, now that's a big shit show. We just got all the brothers to sign the...
And now they acting a damn donkey.
Yeah, they signed the lease for instead of selling the property. And so, you know, basically Andre's getting paid behind that. And the brothers weren't too happy about that. They ran up on the mixed brother and beat his ass up real good. So now they tied into the lease with the casino. If the casino happened, because the casino people were like, hey.
It ain't happening.
Yeah, he like, yo, it's too much shit going on. Hey, I'm about to pull out. Nigga, what's going on? You better hurry up and get this shit together. And with that meaning, getting it together means the auction, the pink goes on auction the next day. So we had one more night in the pink, and they guaranteed that this was going to be the greatest night ever.
They want to make it rain.
Make it rain.
And then the people threw a curveball at them because they said they couldn't see them titties at the same time that the liquor was being consumed.
Yep. So
they got all kind of laws being broken up in that piece.
So, yeah. So they're going to have to get off this night, and they trying to go out with a bang. You got Lil Murda performing Mercedes after she said it was her last dance, came back again because she's Uncle Clifford's bottom bitch.
That's what they said.
And she came to help out, you know what I'm saying? And so she was down for the cause. But before all the night got started, Lil Murder took Uncle Clifford on a little date.
And they had to look at the stars.
They had to go look at the stars. And so Lil Murder and Uncle Clifford, they go walk down through the embankment, through the forest and the trees, like Lil Red Riding Hood and the Big Bad Wolf. And they come to an opening in this Uncle Clifford car decorated with Christmas lights. You know what I'm saying? So
that was so sweet.
Oh, yeah. So Lil Murder and Uncle Clifford sitting in the car just basically chatting it up. And then, you know, Lil Murder start putting the moves on Uncle Clifford. Kissing on him, rubbing on him, and even stuck his hand up Uncle Clifford's dress, which Uncle Clifford jumped like he had a real pussy down there. Like
he got one, he got a little booty hole.
Yeah, but that ain't what, I don't know what Uncle Murder was grabbing.
Lil
Murder was grabbing.
I mean, hey, he might grab a ding-a-ling and
hey, but he jumped, he like, oh, like, bro, like he got a wop down there or something,
don't do that,
boy.
Don't do that. You don't know
stop
what
it.
He might have had a bottom surgery.
Hey, who knows, but still. You know, so they...
He still got a mustache, but whatever.
Exactly. So they was in the car. You know, they had their little session. You seen Uncle Clifford big-ass hands, I guess. Whatever they did, they fogged the windows up. You know what I mean? So they went down. You know what I'm saying? So on the way back, though, they were spotted by Lil Murder's manager.
And, you know, I mean, they just skipping through the thing like they...
Yeah, like, look. Hey, bro. Like, they just walked off, and they ain't make no bones about it. But uh-huh. He... But, you know, they were slick with it, but he just so happened to be in the right place at the right time to
they
catch
wasn't
him.
Slick,
you know, so the manager sees him, and he basically tells him, like, listen, man, listen, the heart wants what it wants. You know, so sometimes people heartbeat on the same night. He gave him some, you know, he told him, you know, Lil Murder didn't want to understand it. And basically the manager said, listen, man, you can like who you like, but don't let this little relationship fuck the bag up before we get it, man. Like, I don't give a fuck. You can do whatever the fuck you want to do, but don't fuck up the bag. Basically what he's telling them. And you know what I'm saying?
I mean, that was solid advice, though.
Yeah, that's real solid, because you got to think about most managers probably like that. You got to think, like, Bobby Brown managers and shit. Like, yo, man, Bobby, like, they go get drugs for him. Like, yeah. Yo, they go home at night and be like, yo, Dad, I know it's great working for Bobby Brown. You have no motherfucking idea. Phone ringing. Hey, man, where you at, man? He's like, oh, I got to go, son. Bobby. You know, oh, but tell Uncle Bobby I said hi. Uncle Bobby doesn't know you, kid. Like, you know what I'm saying? He doesn't know you.
He doesn't even want to know you.
Yes. You know what I'm saying? So, that happened. What else happened in the episode? Oh, shit. Autumn Rain or whatever the fuck her name is.
Oh, yeah. Autumn Night. She about to get that head bust.
So, you know, she's in the club dancing on stage. Then, you know, Mercedes, you know, she can spot a dollar. She know where the money. She can smell it. She can sense it because she just got that stripper's third eye. Like, yeah. She know who got money, what, you know, she just got this, like, stripper fucking psychic ability. Like, I guess swinging on a pole backwards, and yeah, it does something. Yeah, it rotated, you know, gives you a super fucking senses. But so she sensed money. She walks up on this dude, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, she like, yo, what's good? And he's like, nah, I got my eye on somebody else. And he points to Autumn. And then, you know, basically gives her, you know, a stack of money.
Just to go away and get her.
She gets her. Autumn walks up on him and she sees it's the dude that
her husband
that she shot and that was beating on her. You know what I'm saying?
So she say,
"Well, she was beat up. You see her with the black eye and stuff, or at least you know the traumatic story she had, the shaking and shit, and she was all shook up." And so he basically brings her into the VIP room. You know what I'm saying? And you know, and he basically asks her like, "Yo, where the fuck is my money?" You know what I'm saying? So she has been spending up money. His
and I
money.
I don't think she's been spending it. She just been getting it. Because she needed to get it out of that account.
Okay, because she thought he was dead. But then when she called in to the police and they told her they ain't find his body, she knew he was still alive. And that's when she got scared. So now, I mean, maybe she can get away with giving him his money. You know what I'm saying? Because she still got it.
But he want her too. He didn't come there just for the money. Because I'm pretty sure he could have put a stop on that money. He could actually go into the bank. Whereas she was over there doing some old conning type shit.
Yeah.
So, to me, it's something ain't too right about what she got going on. But, yeah, he about ready to bust her head open. So
yeah, because she ain't got that motherfucking money.
She got to come up with that money quick. But he probably still want to tap dance on her head.
Oh, yeah. He going to have to just to show her a fucking lesson.
And then her boyfriend, Andre, his wife done come down there to the city.
Yeah, Andre in the strip club getting... I mean,
about to get tossed.
Yeah, old girl Autumn was about to give up the buns to him because she was leaving town, and he was trying to talk her into staying. And I'm like, nigga, you finna leave. You ain't even from here.
Yeah, exactly.
You live in Atlanta, nigga. You talking about why I need to stay here?
I'm gonna stay put so that you can come see me when you feel like seeing.
Yeah,
me.
So I'm supposed to be your hoe in this town. Okay, exactly. I got you. And so you know, his wife calls in the middle of him.
Kept calling.
So he finally answered the phone, go see his wife.
Autumn answered the phone for him.
Yeah, it told him to answer it. You know what I'm saying? She asked where he was. He was like, oh, I'm at the crib. And she was like, I met your crib, nigga. And he was like, okay, I'm at a bar. Like, damn, nigga. Like,
I mean, like, you can't, I mean, when a nigga asks you where you at, you already know. They already know something.
Yeah.
Especially the way she asked.
Yeah. And so he goes home and he sees her. He, you know, he all aggressive and grabbing her and fucking her because he had blue balls. And that shit was hurting.
And then he probably was aggressive fucking Autumn night too, so he done got used to fucking a certain type of way.
He ain't never hit though. Remember?
He didn't?
No, remember they jacked off on the phone together?
Yeah, but they didn't do nothing the other time?
No, I don't think they did nothing, if I don't remember.
I feel like they did it at some point, but if they did, whatever. Mm. Even where it go, like I said, he used to dealing with hoes, so now he wanna bang the wife up, just beat her up. Mm. Like he ain't got no respect for her goods. And
then she was like, you miss me? I gotta take a shower. I'm like, damn, nigga, that's your wife, bro. You can't do her like that.
Done.
Mm. I said, damn, bro, you a dirty-ass nigga.
He real dirty because he done had somebody else grinding all over.
Like, how the wife ain't smell that stripper on his wife? Like, she was all on that nigga.
On her husband?
Yeah, she was all on the stripper was all on that nigga, and then the wife was all on him. So I'm like, you had to smell her. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? I would have been like, I just knew she was going to smell him. Yeah, but I bet you would care. You ain't seen your husband in an X amount, and he come in smelling like, whoa, what smell a little fruity. What bar you was at? Hooters, nigga? Like, what the fuck?
You got cut real quick. But, you know, some people, they play that naive and dumb role real good.
Hey, man. Some people get away with it. So we got one episode left for P-Valley. I'm going to be honest with you, that song Lil Murder was rapping, you know what I'm saying, like Country Boy, you know, hey, that shit was kind of hard though, like that song
kind of... The one from the show, that's what you talking about?
Nah, the one that he was rapping, he couldn't, she was like, nah, you got to say it was a feeling, when she made that nigga rap butt naked, nigga, I was just like, what the fuck, bro, like, yo, man, listen, I know you claim to be heterosexual, but y'all young niggas be pushing the motherfucking limits, bro, like, you can get a check in acting without going this far, bro, like,
they don't mind though.
But that's the thing, they man. Like, I'm supposed to see your art, bro. Like, they don't... Oh, man.
But hey, it might be a little easier. Take these clothes off and be done with this shit. Get this money.
Damn.
That naked money is better than that putting on clothes money. I got to work a little harder for that. So, take these clothes off and let me get that check a little quicker.
Hey, man. Well, shout out P-Valley season finale next. I guess it come on Saturday or Sunday. I don't know which night it come on. I think it come on Saturday night on Stars. And I heard Power started back. Are you interested in watching that? I'm not. It's Power's book 2. They just said something Power book 4, something Tommy story coming out in December or some shit. So they about to flood us with Power stories. So, I mean, if you want to watch it, I'll bite the bullet and watch it. If not, I'm not interested.
I mean, I'll check it out.
Yeah, I mean, ain't gonna be no ghost in it, so, you know, I don't know if you... It might be a ghost of ghosts in there, who knows.
I guess.
Well, it's that time of the show that Queen Jern hates, but I love it. Pause. Black cinema. You're supposed to join in with me on that, but you never do, and you
because I don't like this. Like,
why? It's funny. People like it. Like, that's what.
Okay, well, if I don't like it, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it.
Why not?
It's not
what can
good.
I do to make it more enjoyable?
Not do it.
But you don't understand. People like it because you have we have good improv.
It's
so
horrible.
What Bad Black Cinema is, or BBC for short? What we do is we're not trained actors, but we do like acting out scenes, situations. I ain't gonna say scenes, situations suggested by either you, the viewer, or things that we come up with. But every week is fun, and I think it's enjoyable. And, you know, so.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting good feedback from it. I'm getting good feedback from it. So, you know, you want to be a little more enthusiastic, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, that doesn't, you know, bode well with the listener. When they're like, man, Queen Germ seemed like she don't want to be there, man.
I don't want to do that. Like, they can tell my energy changes, but let's go ahead and do this thing.
But I need your good energy. I need that same energy that you're going to bring after the segment and that you was bringing before that segment. Can you do that for me? So, this segment is, this was suggested by one of the listeners. It was customer taking too long in the line. Do you want to be the customer that's taking too long, or do you want to be the customer that is getting irritated because the other customer's taking too long?
Or is there an employer?
You could be an employee. Yeah, just a customer taking too long in line. So I could be the customer taking too long in line. You could be the employee, the cashier. You want to be the cashier?
Sure.
Okay, so you ready? Here we go. Action!
Hey.
How you doing, man? How you doing today?
Can I help you?
Just trying to get all my stuff on the line. Everything's okay. I mean, I got about 17 items here, I think.
I think you're in the 10 or less.
I mean, 17. I mean, what's the difference?
Can you just put your things up here, please?
Okay. I mean, what's the rush for, man? I mean, you get paid by the hour? I mean,
it's not about what I get paid.
Okay, but so why are you rushing me?
For one, I shouldn't even be accepting your transaction right now.
Okay, but
so. I'm doing you a favor. Put your stuff on up here so I can ring you up.
It's the COVID. Like, it's only a few open lanes. Like, what's the big deal?
Put your things up here if you want to be checked out.
Okay, fine. I need to find my coupons.
Less talking, more moving.
I need to find my coupons real quick. So,
sir,
hold on.
I don't have time for this.
Do you take coupons on the phone?
No.
Why? Yeah, I can't just. You can't just scan. It's got a barcode on it.
Do you have it available? Turn up your brightness because I don't have time to be playing with your phone.
Well, let me find it real quick.
See what I'm saying?
I mean, man, what's the problem? I mean, man, why are you acting like this,
man?
Are
you
having a bad day today?
No, I'm not.
Ma'am.
If you knew you had coupons, all your stuff should have been pulled up.
Okay, but I understand that, but ma'am, it's just...
So can you please? My line is growing.
Ma'am, they can go to another line. I would have had to wait. I've been waiting this line
just
like them.
You just made the observation that there were only three lines open. So I'm one of those three. We need to hurry up.
Okay, ma'am, but still, I had to wait my turn to get up here, and
you're right, sir. Can you please with the coupons?
Okay, ma'am, I mean, okay. Can I get a price check on this?
No.
Why not?
Either you want it or you don't.
But it said it was $4.98 back there.
Okay, let's see if it is.
Okay, well, that's why I'm asking for a price check.
Well, once I ring it, you got to buy it.
No, ma'am, no, I don't. I just want to do a price. Can't you just do the thing that we do a price check?
I'm not.
Ma'am, I mean, what's this attitude? I mean, are you not getting any at home?
Now, see, now you out of line.
What?
So you can get all your shit.
I'm in line, actually. I'm in line.
Okay, you can get all your shit and go.
Oh, now you... Wow. It's really true what they say about you black women, huh?
Apparently it is.
I mean,
apparently
why the attitude, man?
Get your shit.
Cut! Bad black cinema people. The energy was there. Queen Germ say she don't like it, but she really inside, she really likes it.
I really don't.
You get up, dude, because I see you. The energy was there.
Okay, moving right along. What's next?
They showed the authentic anger. People, man, listen. We're not paid actors, but we're going to get us a SAG card for this.
We not.
Yes, we are.
We're not.
This is acting.
Don't look for it.
HBCU confessional time. People, every week I go by the HBCU confessional Twitter. I grab one. I bring it back to Queen Germ. I show it to her and see how she likes it.
I don't. I usually don't.
You don't like anything. But
I like a whole lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't like nasty college kids. I don't like bad acting. Uh-huh. So that's my problem.
No. I got you. Well, this one. Nasty college kid said this. My side hoe turned out to be pregnant, and I gave her money for the abortion. Turns out she was friends with my girl and knew I was cheating on her, and they split the money. She was never pregnant. Texas Southern University. Got it right this time. Shout out to all y'all that corrected me. You know what I'm saying? So, Queen Jern, how you feel about that?
I mean, it wasn't nothing that was too smart, because... Y'all dumb for playing. I mean, like, you still fucking a nigga. So if you got what, $500 to split with your homegirl, $250, that's what your pussy worth. So I'm sure he got it a whole bunch of time before you lied and told him that you was pregnant. Mm. So I mean, that's damn near looking like $10 pussy. So ain't nobody winning him.
I mean, if you're not with her no more, you learned your lesson, young man. You need to do more recon work. No friends or friends. If you're going to be a player like that, because it's bad when you get caught up like that, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes it just happened like that, but, you know, what's the odds? You know what I'm saying? But like you said, when you mess with people on campus, people know who messing with each other. And, you know, that's how you got caught. Like, you can't have a girlfriend on campus and a side hoe on campus. Like,
Your girlfriend got, somebody got to be from the city.
What the fuck school you go to? You had, you go to a big ass motherfucking school, a super duper school where these worlds ain't going to collide.
You go to HBCU.
Yeah, you at HBCU, nigga, you going to see each other in the calf. Somewhere, nigga, and walking.
And your girlfriend could have done graduated and all that, and you still gonna see her because she might have a sister, a brother, somebody that she dropping off to the school and see you with your people. I mean, it ain't wise.
Exactly. So, you know, be smart.
Have a girlfriend back home.
Yes.
And have one in the college.
Yes.
Don't have them all living in the same city.
Get you a little local. Get you one of the girls from whatever state, Texas, Southern.
Somebody might roll up on somebody at Walmart.
Hey, it happens.
Just be careful out there.
Yeah, just be careful. Keep it 100 time. Queen Journey, you got to keep it 100.
Yeah, I've just been thinking about some things as this, you know, all this revolutionary type things that's going on in our world. And I think I'm convinced that I don't want to do nothing that look like I'm trying to be remotely resembling anything European.
100.
So I want to wear my hair as nappy as it can be. I mean, I ain't going to let it break and, you know what I'm saying, be dry and shit. But I'm talking about, you know, wear my natural curls, enjoy all of the things that, you know, make us different. Being black culture, I ain't got to wear no dashiki out. I'm dark enough that you know what I am, so I ain't got to do all that. But I'm convinced that kids.
But if I want to rock pushing, a dashiki, nigga, I'm gonna do that shit. Yeah,
and it ain't gonna be no problem. I don't see nothing wrong with that because at this point, I'm just like, I'm not knocking what nobody else like, but I'm over the straight hair. I'm over the, you know what I'm saying, just trying to blend, trying to do the looks. You know what I'm saying? It's just we got to be black, proud, and unapologetic. Like, what's there to be ashamed of? What's there to bend for now? Like, we got their attention. They claim they want to do right by us. Then we can start by making them respect our culture, because our culture is not just music and sports,
entertainment.
You know what I'm saying? That's not who we are. We are some soulful people, and it ain't just the food we eat. It ain't just the swag we got. It's just, you know what I'm saying, the kind of people that we are, genuine individuals. And everybody can, you know what I'm saying, subscribe to the same thing, but at this point, black people, we got to own it. We are who we are. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. We ain't got no flag. I mean, those of us who can't claim an island, I say we came from someplace else, we just need to enjoy the fact that we are who we are and be proud of it and not ashamed for anybody.
100. Right, that's what's up. Well, my keep it 100, man. Not as deep as that, man. Kind of made me feel a little shallow, but hey, you know me, I'm King Germ.
Yeah, keep it going.
Cloud chasing is at an all-time high out here, man.
100.
You got people out here doing anything for clout, man. That's what the song say. Anything for clout. You know what I'm saying? Got a homeboy. Nigga was in a car accident. Had surgery. Nigga on Facebook. You know what I'm saying? Barely can talk and shit. And you out here making videos and shit for the clout. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? For likes and shit. You got women out here claiming they kidnapped and shit. If people don't subscribe to their OnlyFans, they gonna hurt her and shit. For clout. Then you end up losing your job behind this shit because, you know, pulling these stunts. You got niggas running around here in dangerous neighborhoods, being disrespectful to the dead or the people there. You know what I'm saying? Like, niggas like 6ix9ine doing shit. For clout. Like, niggas... Nigga, clout gonna get y'all motherfuckers killed. Alright? Stop doing that fucking dumbass shit, bro. Y'all niggas wanna run and put everything on the internet thinking that shit cool. You can do dumbass shit, you don't have to fucking record it. Cause guess what? Your parents did dumbass shit, your grandparents did dumbass shit, the nigga talking to you right now did dumbass shit, the lady to my right did dumbass shit, but we didn't record the motherfucking shit. You know what I'm saying? Y'all niggas recording the shit, broadcasting the shit. I don't have no problem you doing stupid ass motherfucking shit. My problem is when you record the stupid ass motherfucking shit. Now, you not recording it would make Worldstar and all my other internet watching kind of dull. So I appreciate y'all for recording y'all doing this dumb ass shit. So on the flip side, that's the hypocritical side of me. You know what I'm saying?
Really, nigga?
Yes.
So sound a little bipolar too.
What you mean? No, I'm saying I understand both.
You understand angles. Yeah.
Okay. Like I enjoy watching the video of the Spider-Man dancing and doing the backflip and falling on his fucking head. I enjoyed that.
You did?
Yes. But, you know, I'm glad they captured that. You know, but you didn't have to embarrass that motherfucker like that. I mean, luckily he had a mask on, but he almost cracked his motherfucking cranium. You know, Spider-Man tried to do a backflip under the damn shelter, and that damn cement floor won, undefeated. Cement floor is undefeated. I don't know no nigga, that didn't beat the cement floor. So that's my 100 right here. Stop recording being stupid on motherfucking camera. Winners and loser time, Queen Jern. Do you have a winner?
Yeah, and I think love always wins. So my winners this week will have to be none other than Niecy Nash and Jessica Betts.
Winner.
They got married a few days ago, so congratulations.
That's your winner?
Yeah, I said love wins.
Niecy Nash. Guess her husband wasn't eating that thing good enough.
Well,
hey, that's gotta hurt, man. Your husband leave your woman leave you for another woman, bro. Like a woman steal your oh my god. Let Queen Jern come tell me like, oh, sorry, King Jern, I'm leaving you. Margaret just a little bit better.
I would never leave you for a woman named Margaret. Trust me. Trust me.
Oh man. So if you did date a woman, would it be a stud or a femme?
It would probably have to be a stud.
Oh, real?
Yeah, I mean, I don't like women, so I would like a manly. I would have to have a manly looking lady.
Okay.
She can't be no damn broad, like no.
Nah. Interesting.
Yeah, she would have to be masculine.
Uh-oh. That's what's up.
Yeah. I mean, not that I've given it a whole lot of thought. I'm just saying. You know.
My winner. Only on the Frocast, people.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, that was out the blue, but yeah.
420 episode. Only on the Frocast. But my winner is a mixed-race family got their home appraised for $330,000, way below the local average. So for the second appraisal, they removed all black family photos, culture items, and had only the white dad home. The appraisal, $465,000.
Winner!
They say black homes are devalued at 23% on average. So y'all are my winners for finessing the system and now giving everybody jewels. When you're trying to sell your house and you black, get rid of all that black shit in your motherfucking house. Have a white person there and have them showing the motherfucking house around. Get how much money is that? $330,000 to four. That's you got $115,000 more. Mm. That ain't no chump change.
No.
That ain't no chump change.
No, that's not.
You know what I'm saying? So shout out to them for finessing the system.
A new house and then get a couple of things for your daughter and put away some college money and all that.
They're telling us how to get it, man. Tell me if this ain't the worst picture you ever seen in your life. Look at that shit.
Oh, God. What's going on here?
Read it. What it say?
You niggas nowadays?
Uh-huh.
Oh, bitch-ass nigga, pussy-ass nigga, laughing my ass off.
And look at this shit, bro.
They
put a pussy on that nigga.
I was just mad because the hair was peasy. I didn't even focus on the
problem. That's the worst motherfucking image I've ever seen in my life. I see that shit. That is horrible, man.
That's no good.
Losers. You got any losers? First loser who ever made that meme.
Yeah, I guess so. But my loser tonight got to be the Leon County Sheriff, Walt McNeil.
Loser.
Oh, shit.
We under a goddamn curfew starting tomorrow night.
Why?
The shit is... because they some pussies. Now, the police officers...
Don't they know we got a college football game next week?
They don't give a fuck. We on this shit till next Tuesday.
Oh, because after Labor Day. Look, because it's a game coming out that week. They're going to lift the curfew. Oh, okay. But go ahead.
But y'all claim that it's people protesting and all kind of other shit supposed to be popping off. Y'all just want to be able to harass niggas if they find them on the street after 11 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So, y'all got us under curfew starting tomorrow night.
Because the college kids are still partying. They're throwing big parties all
the
time.
Big parties. The corona big parties.
They like the college kids like, yo, we don't give a fuck.
They don't, so, because they already know that most of them are going to survive. So they taking them chances to see who's going to be that one. But I just feel like we ain't got no business under no curfew. And you ain't got the right to be harassing nobody because stuff's still open now. Mm. So you going to tell the people who got the people, you know what I'm saying? People got to go to the job. The damn, y'all got prisons around this motherfucker. People got to go to work at 11 o'clock. So I guess you say the ones who getting off at 11, they got to have a sign or something from the job to say they come in from work. That shit is ridiculous. That's just giving y'all the opportunity to harass some law-abiding citizens.
Yep.
That's all it sounds like to me.
You ain't gonna give a fuck who is who.
No.
If they ask out on the street. And you ain't no
good police officer. Y'all pussy as fuck talking about something. We need to be under a goddamn curfew because of protesters. I mean, like, what the fuck? And talking about something along with some of the violence that's been taking place. Y'all ain't never cared about what nobody was doing. If they was out there killing each other, you didn't care. You talking about now y'all scared of some shit. Okay. Now you're so scared that we got to have the Labor Day under the curfew. That's crazy.
Oh, that's right. We do got 3-day weekend coming up. Yeah. Hey.
Niggas supposed to be having a good time.
Damn. Well, my loser is this couple.
Loser.
Wife who walked in on husband having sex with his mother suspected incest. Documents show the wife of incest accused Tony Lavoie told police she had always suspected a sexual relationship between her husband and his mother. So the wife of a man who claimed she walked in, she said she walked in on her mother-in-law on top of her husband on the couch in their living room in Fitchburg, Massachusetts. Massachusetts, that's how y'all get down. And y'all talk about us Southerners, that's what we do. Wow. Tony Lavoie, 43, and his mom, Cheryl Lavoie, 64, each face incest charges following the alleged incident. According to the police report, the officer asked the wife what she did the next day after allegedly seeing the pair together on the couch. She told the officer, "I walked into my room and closed the door." She added she didn't say a word to either of them, but called her cousin and then the police. Lori then told police she had always been suspicious of a sexual relationship between her husband and his mother. Wow, according to documents. She then clarified saying that she had heard the pair were involved sexually, but did not know it was true. Nigga, if you hear about me fucking my mama, that ain't even a rumor that should be rumored.
That's not even something that I would be okay with being with you after I heard it.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
so if that's what the people say. If I'm messing with
you and I heard, like, oh, she fuck her daddy. Like, rumor going around. Yeah, I ain't messing with you.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I can't compete with that nigga. Like, that nigga love her. Like, really? I'm just trying to split them cheeks.
Really?
You know what I'm saying?
And that's where we end the show.
But no. She said the wife confirmed all three living together at the time of the alleged incident. So, damn, he had some in-house. Wow.
That's disgusting.
The cousin had answered the door and told an officer that Lavoie's wife had called her about walking in on her husband having sex with his mom before phoning 911. The officer spoke to the mom and son separately and both acknowledged that they had consensual sexual relations and said it was the first time it had happened. No, it's not. Because y'all would have been off somewhere. Y'all wouldn't have been in that house fucking. That somebody could walk in on y'all.
Y'all were real comfortable. Yeah, y'all been doing this. And that's just disgusting. Like, I don't even understand how you do it. But if you do it, I'd be doggone if you're going to be that tacky with it. Like, any relationship that you choose to have that's extra in comparison to you being married. So you having all this going on under one roof.
She said when the officer asked him, he said, "I don't know. It just happened." What? How your dick just happened to get hard around your mama? Okay.
I don't understand.
There had to be some drugs involved. I'm gonna say.
I don't think so.
When the officer asked the mother the same question, she allegedly responded. Boy, you got to say allegedly a lot these days. I'm starting to notice that.
Yeah.
That she and her son had gotten closer in recent months leading up to the incident. She claimed to have said the sex happened after they started kissing. Ew.
So they intimate.
According to police allegations, she told the officer, "Well, myself and my son have gotten a lot closer over the last few months, and we just had sex after we were kissing." They asked if she felt pressure into having sex. She said no. She allegedly admitted sexual intercourse. She also told the officer that she had not known her son most of his life, and asked if he had had any mental illness. She replied she didn't know, and that he did fall off a ladder at one point in his life.
That ain't got nothing to do with y'all screwing.
Mother and son charged with felony, incest, wow, appearing in court in August. The mother and son were arraigned last week and released on personal recognizance. Wow. Pre-trial in October. Under Massachusetts law, a person convicted of incest can be punished by imprisonment for between 2.5 to 20 years.
And that's the kind of incest that I don't care about.
What you mean?
Like, I'm not for you fucking your mama, but y'all grown. Like, if she ain't raised you, I'm just saying, like, come on now.
Hold the fuck up, man.
No, I'm being real now. I'm not for you doing it, but what are you going to jail to prove? Like, you didn't harm anybody. These people are willing participants. It's nasty, yes, but why are you going to jail? Like, what are you going to jail for? If this lady ain't raised him, this is like a, exactly, and he enjoying it, and she fucking her son, so if they like it, let them people live their life. My thing is, just don't bring nobody else in there. You done got a whole wife over here.
Oh,
got
shit.
This lady. I don't know. I hope they ain't got no churn from you.
Oh, my God.
But you right here. I mean, like, how do you explain that to your kids?
Wow.
My daddy doing it to my grandma? Yeah. Like, that's not even cute. Oof. But like I said, the incest rule can't be for grown people.
Wow.
That can't be for grown people. That's just doing too much.
It's disgusting. But then you can't have kids because, you know.
I'm saying that shit. She too old.
No, I'm just saying,
she's going to not be able to do nothing.
But if, like, you can't start having sex with your 22-year-old daughter.
I know, but I'm saying people, if they're doing it, then that means apparently there's people doing it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it's been time just, yeah. It's like keep the bloodline tight.
And there's not. That's how the people get retarded.
But that's what keeping the bloodline tight is. That's what back in the day was.
But retarded people are not.
You said that R word again.
Okay. People that. These motherfuckers retarded. And that's what you could call retarded when you having babies with your own people. That's retarded. Because you. That whole process is crazy. So that gene mixing. That ain't helping nothing stay pure. Because you're going to be all messed up. Like, what good is that? If the person come out and they got some real issues. And they not suitable to be able to go out here and find a job or learn and all this other stuff. What did that do for y'all? That messed y'all family line up. So ain't no need to keep that if that's what you're going to end up with. So, but no. That whole process, like I said, saying it's incest, I get it technically. But to say that you need to be calling the police on somebody, lady, you the problem. The wife the problem. If you knew a nigga was fucking his mama, all y'all nasty. Because you knew what was going on, you shouldn't even have got into that whole family relationship. Because you knew exactly what was going on. Thompson, you went in your room and closed the door and called the police. You called the police after what? you realized you was mad now? Like, what processing did you need to take place? Because if I walk in on you doing it to anybody, I don't give a fuck who it is. Somebody getting their ass whooped. I'm not going to go walking calmly in no room to call nobody. Ain't nobody going to get no phone call.
So let me ask you a question. You walk in a room with me, which would never happen. Hypothetical, like, because King Jern would never. So you walk in a room with me with a girl. Let's say you know the girl. Who you hitting first?
Probably the girl.
Thank you. All right, that's all I wanted to know. Because I could talk you out of it after I see you fuck up. I'm like, baby, stop.
Oh, you gonna get it. It's gonna be so quick.
That's gonna be a good situation. That's gonna be a bad BBC for the next week.
It's not.
Man, woman walks in on man cheating. Mm-mm. Write that down. Mm-mm. Yes, that's gonna be a good one.
Because I'm gonna whoop your ass and hers.
But once you hit her, because I mean, like, why you beating on her? I'm gonna be like,
it ain't gonna take long for me to get her.
Yeah, me and you gonna jump on her. I'm like, yeah, girl, what you in here doing?
I'm gonna take her head and ram it up against yours. Both of y'all gonna be out.
I'm like, babe, what you doing? But I think I could talk you out of your madness by then.
It ain't.
Cause I feel like, baby, what?
Because all this time, I would say all these years, you always kept that lie going, and then I catch you in something. Oh, you got to pay. You got to pay for all the years that you took me through it, and that's what it's gonna come out. And you gonna have to, hey, you better beg God to open up heaven.
Yeah, I mean, I'll let you get away with, like, you can stab me.
Nigga, you gone.
What you mean?
Just what I said. You are gone.
I'll let you cut me. Like, I'm like, ah.
You don't have to let me do nothing. I'm just trying to tell you, I'm crazy. And I know I'm
crazy. Crazy people don't know they're crazy.
Okay. I know I'm
crazy. The ones that do all that woofing, they not crazy.
Try me. That's all I keep trying to tell you. Just try me and see. I mean, because, like, at this point, my kid's almost grown. If I got to go to prison now. I done most of my raising, so it ain't gonna hurt me too bad.
Well, let's get into shout outs. Queen Germ has threatened a lot of people's lives on the show today. The Black Widow, aka the Black Widow.
No.
You got all this black, the daughter of death, the daughter of darkness. She's in here just being raw today. So you got any shout outs, Queen Germ?
And you know I do. I want to shout out Pam and the fam, the Johnson Five, the Lunch Crew, and anybody representing the 912. That's Savannah, Georgia, y'all. And no, I ain't forget about the front porch. So y'all too.
Hey, they forgot about their podcast. Georgia, y'all. They forgot about their podcast. They ain't updated in a while. Let me see. Because, you know, I listen. You know what I'm saying?
Nigga got fans, nigga. And I represent my city, nigga.
Let's see.
Can you say your shout outs, sir?
Let's see. Front Poach. There they go. Last episode they did was July 17th.
They had some other ones on Facebook Live.
No. July 17th.
They did. I mean, you stalking the people. Come on. Say your shit. It's getting hot out here.
Let's look up the front post real quick.
I mean, you just really, really...
My shout-outs go a little something like this, man. Shout-out to Be Easy, Sorry Right, GQ Blue, Short T.
Short T.
Ruler Myself, Rick James Bitch, RT3, J Will, Stax, MJ Money 9S, Gerard in Boston, Drew in D.C., Light Skin Kanye, Dark Skin Kanye, Peppy J from B More, Steph from B More, Amazing AP, Sleazy the Black Farmer, 12 Cal Podcast. Shout out to the good brother 12 Cal. Shout out to Dr. Brasive, everybody at Dr. Brasive Network. Matter of fact, Dr. Brasive's birthday is actually September 2nd. He one of the people that don't really, you know, like all the fanfare. But fuck all that, Doc. Happy birthday, my nigga. Shots up. I'ma smoke one for you, my good brother tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? In your honor, since you don't partake in the festivities. So shout out to him. Shout out to Disrespect for motherfucking MJ. Shout out to Dr. Cam. He's Dr. Cam Barbecue now. You know, he keep adding on. Like, you can't fuck with him, man. The light-skinned assassin. You know what I'm saying? All them names, man. He's a jack of all trades, man. Shout out to K-Law, the truck driver, man. We do have the Mad League. I think it starts September 21st, Madden 21. You know, $5 for one season, $10 for three seasons, $20 for five seasons. Every season, it's a winner take all. So whoever win the season, get all the money. We're trying to get at least, you know, a lot of teams in there. So, you know, we can make it fun. We got at least five teams in there now. So, you know, come on in, join up. You know what I'm saying? The links on there.
Since it's going to end early, how y'all going to manage that?
It's a Madden. We playing Madden.
Oh, you said Madden.
Yeah. Not fantasy football. You know what I'm saying?
It's not going to last long.
Yeah, we going to see. Well, I don't know. Football, they ain't going to give a fuck. You know, they going to keep going. Oh, so, shout out to everybody at Dr. Brasive Network. Shout out to anybody over that site to fuck with the kids. Shout out to Doc Cloud. Anybody else over at that site. Shout out to any podcast to fuck with us. Glenn and Her Podcast. Relationships Podcast. Who else, man? Anybody else, man? Y'all know who y'all are, man. Shout out. That's about everybody, ain't it? Papa Dash, Daughter Dash, and anybody else to fuck with us the long way, the short way, or no way at all, man. Shout out to y'all, man. Woo! Episode 420 of the Books, Queen Germ.
420, my nigga.
Rate your show.
I think I was pretty good tonight, so.
Okay.
I'm gonna say 9. Cause I was on cloud line.
Mm-hmm.
0.5, cause in the whole festivities of the 420 day, 420 episode, I'm gonna say, you know, I got 5 on it, so my score gonna be a 9.5.
All right.
A lot going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give it a fucking perfect 10. Fuck it. Never before done. Perfect 10 for the Frocast. This is how I'm feeling today. Because, you know, we give all of this, man. Like I said, we don't do it for the money, man. We out here, we do it for the love, man. Some of y'all favorite podcasters, only your favorite podcasters, because they chasing the bag. But some of these podcasters you listen to, we do it because we love doing it. It's not a labor of love. Well, labor of love is a good thing, right? It is a labor of love. I thought labor of love was, I hear labor like it's just bad.
Yeah, no.
You know what I'm saying? So it's a labor of love, people. You know, so yes, perfect 10 in the books. Beezy gonna be mad because he gonna have to edit this long ass show, but you know, he'll get over it, man.
He has to.
It give him some purpose in life, man. Beezy just, you'll wither away if it went for, you know, having to dilly dally around us all day, every week. You know what I'm saying?
Not dilly dally.
Yes. shout out to B-Eazy, man. I mean, you know, he's a producer of the show, as he calls himself. But I don't, hey, look. Hey, I told him he's an editor. It's just a difference.
But whatever you want to get called, yeah, man, for the work to get done.
Exactly, bro. Yeah.
I can't do what you do.
Thank you. Pause. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't going to say that, but I just felt like pause should be there. But anyway.
Nah, not a pausable statement.
Yeah. Don't forget, call the voicemail in. 347-201-2572. Leave voicemail. We'll play it on the show. Don't forget about a Patreon. You can join for as little as a dollar. Don't forget about buying shirts. Don't forget about going to the site. I just got a whole list of things for y'all to do. But just make sure it's Nappy Afro related. You know what I'm saying? What else? Don't forget to share this shit.
Yeah.
That's it, man. Like always, y'all know how we get down. It's the 420 episode. It's your boy King Germ.
And it's your girl Queen Germ.
And it's the Frocast. We out this bitch, man. Peace.
Peace.
This is the end of the show. Feel free to visit nappyafro.com for more information. Or not. It's your loss.
nappyafro.com